Okay, so thank you everyone for all of your wonderful, wonderful association. And today we are in our conclusion, concluding session of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And today's class will be facilitated by Her Grace Indulekha Karunath Mataji. So thank you so much, Mataji, for your association. And now you can please take over. Hare Krishna. You are on mute.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matajis, for giving me this opportunity. This is a very, very interesting topic, but I have no qualification to be speaking on it. I'll just completely follow Srila Prabhupada's notes, as he mentions in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we'll start with the prayers. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Datati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Giri Yat Kripata Maham Vandem Sri Gurum Dinatharinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hari Om Tat Sat. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. Today we would be concluding the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is chapter 32, the final chapter of Ramananda Raya Samvad and also the entire book. So like what Mataji said yesterday, there are many activities for us coming tomorrow and day after. So please join for that. Till now, Ramananda Raya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Raya, what is the ultimate goal of life? And he was inquiring from him on the transcendental form and pastimes of the Lord. But now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts this rapid fire round that we would call in the present day, where he asks a set of questions, and immediate response from Ramananda Raya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moves on to the next question, and he gets an answer from him on that. So that covers text for 245 through 257. So that is the section that we are covering here in this conclusion. So in this exchange, what they are trying to show is the difference between our material and spiritual existence. So we'll just recite the first verse and then we'll move on from there. So the first text is on what is the highest education. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 8, text 245. प्रभु कहे कोन विद्या विद्या मध्य सारा राय कहे कृष्ण भक्ति बिना विद्या नहीं आरा. Okay, please forgive me, I don't know Bengali, so this is just an attempt. So the translation is, on one occasion the Lord inquired, of all types of education, what is the most important? And Ramananda Raya replied, no education is more important than the transcendental devotional service to Krishna. So throughout there will be this comparison, and we'll see how Ramananda Raya is constantly answering only on the basis of the topmost love for Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. So all of his answers are like that. So in our material world, our standard of education is for our own sense gratification. We work hard, we do a lot of studies so that we can get a job, secure a job that gives us enough, helps us maintain our own family. But what is beyond that? Beyond this material sense gratification is an other kind of knowledge. Now that is also a negative kind of knowledge called Brahma Vidya, where we are learning about the impersonal transcendental, Lord. So beyond that impersonal realization of the Lord is the knowledge of devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Now, even beyond this knowledge of devotional service to Lord Vishnu is the very highest standard of spiritual education. And that is knowledge of the science of Krishna. Okay, so that is what Ramananda Raya is explaining here. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, 29th chapter, it says that that work which pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest work. And the science of knowledge which places one in full Krishna consciousness is the highest knowledge. So very important that the highest standard of education is the science of knowing Krishna. So even Prahlad Maharaj, he says, while he is instructing all his friends, we know this very famous verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. And he says that hearing the Lord, chanting his names, remembering him, worshipping the Lord, praying to him, serving the Lord and making friends with him and offering everything to the Lord, this constitutes the higher spiritual knowledge. So what is this science of Krishna consciousness is explained by Prahlad Maharaj in chapter 5 of Canto 7 in verses 23 to 24. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would ask, okay, so now tell me, what is the most glorious activity that a person can perform? So he asks, out of all glorious activities, what is most glorious? And Ramananda Raya says, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna, he enjoys the utmost fame and glory. We have the example of Srila Prabhupada himself. He came to the West and he went all around the world to spread the holy names of the Lord, to spread the Sankirtan mission, to make everyone, aware of Lord Krishna, to teach them the science, to teach all of us the science of Krishna. And in the process, Srila Prabhupada himself became very, very famous. So one who is famous as a Krishna conscious devotee, he attains eternal fame. That's what we see. In this material world, everyone is striving for three things. Okay, we want our name to be somehow perpetuated. We want our fame to be broadcast all over the world. And we want to make some profit out of our material activities. So we see the picture of some of these great personalities who are very famous in this material world. But we know that all of them, they are doing these, they have become famous because of the activities that they have done. And they are doing this not in a surrendered way, in a way where they are not receiving any profit. They all want to get something out of it. So we all want to make some money out of our activities or to get some power or a name out of our activities. But we need to realize that all of this that we are doing, this kind of fame, everything, this profit mentality that we are trying to achieve, it is all based on our temporary material body. This material body is going to fall after some time. So, and all of this name, fame, everything that we are trying to assimilate, accumulate in this world, it is all connected only with this one body, right? So that is a very deplorable state to actually be in the situation where we are working for something so temporary. We need to make sure even many, many so-called spiritual masters, they also, they do not even, with people who do not even know what the Supreme Spirit is or who the Supreme Spirit is, they have no knowledge of the science of Krishna consciousness, but yet they are known and very famous as great gurus all around. So that is an inappropriate way of becoming famous. And Ramananda Raya is saying that real fame is only belonging to one who attains Krishna consciousness. So our goal should be to try and attain Krishna consciousness in this life itself. So based on that, there are 12 very famous authorities who are famous just because they are the greatest devotees of the Lord. And these are, as we can see, Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Manu, Kapila, Prahlad, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma, Shukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj, and the Kumaras. So Yamaraj himself is saying this in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 6th canto, in the 3rd chapter, where he talks about who are the 12 Mahajans. And all these personalities, they are remembered for only one reason, and that is because they are great devotees of the Lord. In the Garuda Purana, it says that in the age of Kali, it is going to be very, very rare to find a famous devotee of the Supreme Lord. Because we are in this age full of anarthas. And they say that such a person would be even better than Brahma or Lord Shiva. And both of them are listed here as the 12 Mahajans. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 7, he says how rare it is to find such a person. In the 19th verse, he says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan ma prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. So after many births and deaths, one in knowledge, he surrenders unto me. And knowing he knows me to be the cause of all causes and everything that is around us. So such a great soul is very rare. So in this age of Kali, it is definitely going to be very rare to find such a personality. Now in the Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 3rd canto, in the 13th chapter, it said that there are many famous students of the Vedas. But one who is always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he is the best student. And in the same way, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is constantly glorifying all the devotees, many devotees of the Lord. So there are so many verses in this regard in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there's something that Lord Shiva says. He says that I do not know the truth of Krishna, but a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knows all the truths. And out of all the devotees, Lord Shiva is saying, of Krishna, out of all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Prahlad is the greatest. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we see how they establish this this kind of a ladder where they are. Narada Muni is trying to find out who is the best devotee of the Lord and how he goes from one place to another to find the best devotee. And like that, we see that from when he goes to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva says Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest. And then above Prahlad Maharaj, there is the Pandavas who are supposed to be very, very advanced. But even above the Pandavas, even more advanced than the Pandavas were the members of the Yadu dynasty. And one gem among them was Uddhava. And Uddhava, he was considered the most advanced. And when Narada Muni goes to him, he says, oh, I am nothing. You need to go and meet the gopis of Vrindavan, the damsels of Rajadham. And they are the topmost devotees of the Lord. So after hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then asks, what is the greatest treasure? What is the most valuable? Who possesses the most valuable thing in this world? And Ramananda Raya says that he who has love for Radha and Krishna, they possess the most valuable jewel and the greatest riches. So that is the most greatest treasure that we should have. We are one who is addicted to all this material wealth and you know, sense gratification in this world, they are not really wealthy. When we come to this platform of Krishna consciousness, then we understand that whatever riches we are trying to collect in this material world is of no value. It has no further purpose in our life. You know, it cannot help us with anything. More valuable, much more valuable than any material prosperity is the love for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So a very, very famous pastime of Maharaj Dhruva. So when Dhruva Maharaj, he goes out to pray to the Lord and he does very severe austerities to please the Supreme Lord so that he could get a kingdom that is much greater than his forefathers. But what happens is when he finally sees the Lord, when the Lord appears before Dhruva Maharaj, he completely realizes that what was I thinking of? I am so pleased to just see the Lord. I don't want anything else. And he says that I was just searching for broken shards of glass. So that is our situation. What we are looking for in this material world is nothing when compared to that ultimate satisfaction and happiness of possessing the love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Radha Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said in chapter 9, text 22, we say, Ananyas chintayantoma ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga kshemam mahamyam. So it is said that, but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So a devotee, he has nothing more to aspire for. The Lord automatically takes care of everything for them. And he also makes sure that he continues to keep what the devotee has. So then that was the greatest treasure. And after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is the most painful experience of all the kinds of distresses? What is most painful? And Ramananda Raya, he replies, apart from separation from the devotees of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. So in other words, when we do not have devotee association, we have great suffering and anxiety. And associating with other people, materialistic people, becomes very, very painful. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated in the third canto, 30th chapter, verse 6 and 7, that if one who is bereft of the association of a pure devotee, if he tries to become happy through the society, friendship, and love that is devoid of Krishna consciousness, then he is considered to be in the most distressed condition. So, just on a personal note, we just had a wonderful reunion with all very beautiful devotees from Bhakti Sangha. And I really feel, because I'm in a place where there is no devotee association, that I am in the separation from the devotees of the Lord. And so I am in a very horrible, in a distressed, in an unhappy situation here, when we have to actually deal with the society, the friends that have no connection with the Lord. But that was a wonderful experience, and that showed me how much anxiety one would have when one is separated from such devotees. It was an eye-opener for me. But okay, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in chapter one, in canto, in the first part, in the fifth chapter, it is stated that out of all kinds of desirable things that one experiences in their life, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from the devotees for even a moment, we cannot enjoy any happiness. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I said, this is a rapid fire round. He just goes on asking one question after another. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, out of many so-called liberated souls, who is actually liberated? And Ramananda Raya replies that one who is completely saturated with devotional love for Radha and Krishna is to be considered the best of all liberated persons. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, again in the sixth canto, in the 14th chapter, it said, O great sage, among all many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana. And such a devotee who is fully peaceful is extremely rare. Again, like what we are talking about, it is so rare to find a devotee of the Lord, one who perfectly and completely understands that we are the servants of the Lord. And the Lord is the cause of everything. I mean, anything that is in our life. So such a devotee of Lord Narayana is very rare. And they can only be found among millions and millions of liberated persons. So many, many liberated souls might be there, but because there are various kinds of liberation. But the one who has actually pure love of Radha and Krishna, pure devotional service towards the Lordships, they are the best of liberated people. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks, what is the greatest song then? Now we all know what the greatest song would be. Among many, many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of living entities? And Ramananda Raya says that song that describes the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. So even in this world, we see that so many works of fiction that we make, the movies that we make, the dramas, the novels, you know, different kinds of literature that is composed, all of it would normally have something to describe about the relationship between man and woman. So because that is something that attracts people so much, right? People are attracted to know more about the loving relationship between a man and woman. So when Krishna appeared in this material world, he made sure that he displayed those transcendental loving affairs that he has with the gopis in Vrindavan. So, and there is so much of literature on this that, well, of course, we need to go through the proper authority. And when we hear from the right source, then these literatures that deal with these loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna will actually give us true happiness. And it will actually give us even liberation. So in the Rasa dance portion in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, Krishna's it is said that the Lord displayed his pastimes in Vrindavan in order to reveal to us what his actual life is like. So any intelligent person who tries to understand the pastimes of Lord of Radha and Krishna are most fortunate. And the song that tells those pastimes are the greatest songs in this world. So that is verse 36 from chapter 33 of the 10th canto. After this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is the most auspicious and beneficial activity? Which is best out of all the auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? And Ramananda Rai immediately says that the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. According to the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, when Maharaj Nimi, he meets the Nava Yogendras, he says that what is the most perfect welfare activity, he is asking, and he himself answers that too. And he says that in the material world, association with devotees, even if it is for a moment, he says, Shanarthopi, even if it is for a moment, that is the greatest treasure house for mankind, that kind of an association. So the best and most beneficial activity for all living entities is devotee association. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then goes on to ask him, what should all the living entities constantly remember? And Ramananda Rai says that the chief object of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. So, remembering the name, pastimes, form, and qualities of the Lord, this is what Krishna consciousness is, right? We have so many, Krishna has so many activities, so many wonderful pastimes. And all of these are described, or many of these are described in all our Vedic scriptures. So, once we start remembering, we start thinking about those pastimes, we will slowly learn to meditate upon them and receive that highest ecstasy, that bliss. Even in the Nectar of Devotion, it's mentioned that some way or the other, if we establish in our mind our continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. So about this remembrance, even in the Vishnu Purana, it is mentioned that simply by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities become eligible for all kinds of auspiciousness. So let me remember the Lord who is unborn and eternal. And even in the Padma Purana, the same remembrance is explained. It said that, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all his sinful reactions. So in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 8, in text 5, Krishna mentions, Antakale chamahameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nashti atrat samshayaha. Whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this, there is no doubt. So can we remember Krishna just at the last minute of our life when we are dying? Just then, is it possible for us to remember Krishna? No, our soul has a lot of impurities, and we need to make sure that we free this all the contaminations from our soul. So, and for that, we have to practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, if possible, or if not, at whichever stage we are in right away, we need to learn to practice Krishna consciousness. Only then can we achieve this stage where we would remember the Lord at the end of our life. So that's how remembrance is very important. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, he confirms that we have to always, one has to always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Canto 2, chapter 2, in text 36, he says, one should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, one should not only think of him, but also hear and chant his name, fame, and glories. So we know about the 9 different processes of devotional service. And among the 9, of course, the very first, which is Shravanam or hearing, is very, very important. It is the foundational step in our bhakti yoga, in our devotional practice. We need to make sure that we hear sufficiently, we hear attentively. And without hearing, we cannot make progress through any of the other methods. So for hearing, that's why we have the Vedic literatures. That is why it is compiled. And that's why we hear of personalities like Parikshit Maharaj, who could perfect their life just by hearing from Shukadev Goswami about the different pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. So Shravanam is very important and Smaranam is very important. So after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he goes on to inquire, what is the most out of many types of meditation which is required for all living entities? So Ramananda Rai, he says that the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So what does it mean to meditate, right? When we say meditating, it does not mean to meditate on just some space or some void or some light or some black dot. No, to meditate means to engage the mind in thinking of the form of the Lord, to think of the qualities of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, and to think of the service to the Lord. Meditation is definitely, that is what the Vedic scriptures are saying. Meditation is always on the form of Lord Vishnu. And that is again confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second chapter, 14th verse. It says, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead alone, he who is the master of all devotees, whose name one should chant and who should always be meditated upon and worshipped regularly. So, now with regard to meditation, there is a very famous pastime that we hear of, that we all know of, this Brahmana. Now this is mentioned in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana in the city of Pratishtanapura in South India. There was a Brahmana. This Brahmana was not very well off. So he was but very satisfied in himself. And he thought that, oh, it's because of my past bad karma, past misdeeds, that Krishna has desired that I should be poor. Okay, I should not have sufficient money. But so he was not very sorry about his position, but he wanted to worship the Lord in a very, very opulent manner. So when one time he heard a lecture from a very realized soul, and while he was hearing, he was informed that we can perform all of our devotional activities by meditation. Even in our meditation, we can perform these activities. So if someone is physically unable to perform our Vaishnava Seva or our devotional services to the Lord, then we can meditate upon those activities and acquire the very same results. Now, because this Brahmana was not so financially well off, he decided that, oh, okay, if I start meditating and if I think of offering all these very, very grand, luxurious things to the Lord, then he will be satisfied. Then I should start that process. And so he would go, he would take a bath in the Godavari River. And after taking his bath, he would go to a secluded place by the riverbank and he would practice this meditation. Okay, so where when he was meditating, then he would fix the form of the Lord in his mind first. And then he would imagine that he was dressing the Lord very nicely in very costly clothing with wonderful ornaments. He would have very beautiful helmets and all one very, very elaborate paraphernalia for the Lord. And after this, then he offered his obeisance. After dressing up the Lord, he would offer his obeisances to the Lord. He would bow down to the Lord. And after dressing, then he started imagining that, okay, now I have to clean the temple very nicely. And so he would clean the temple. He would imagine that he would think that, okay, yes, I have these beautiful water pots made of gold and silver. And he would take all those jugs and he would fill them in the river water. And not only would he collect the holy water from the Godavari in his meditation, he would also be collecting water from the Ganga, Yamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, all the holy rivers' water. And so normally we would do this by just chanting the mantras, but instead the Brahmana in his meditation, he was imagining that he's going physically and securing all this water, getting all the water from all those places and putting them in the golden and silver water pots. So like this, he collected all the things required for worship. He got very, very beautiful, fragrant flowers, fruits. He got incense, sandalwood, and everything he would collect and place before the Lord. So, and offer all of them. He would offer them very attentively, very sincerely to the Lord so that they are completely satisfied. Then he would offer arati, he would do everything perfectly. So he would be completing his worship. Now, in this way, he continued this meditation for many, many years. Okay. So it has become like he is actually seeing it. So one day, the Brahmana, then he decides that, okay, today I am going to make some sweet rice for the Lord. So he added the rice, milk, sugar, and he started preparing the offering. And once it was ready, he decides to offer this to the Lord. So he was not so sure, is it going to be too hot for the Lord? Is it ready? He just wanted to check. So he touches his finger into the sweet rice to see if it is fit for the Lord to eat. But as soon as he touched the sweet rice pot, his finger got burnt immediately. So he knew, oh, this is very hot. And with that, his meditation broke because he could sense it that his finger was burnt. And when he looked at it, he realized that, oh, this has really happened. And he was so astonished because simply by his meditation, everything had become so real in his life. So while he was thinking like this in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayana, he was seated with the goddess of fortune and he started to smile. And when Lakshmi Devi saw the smile on Lord Narayana, she wanted to know what happened. And Lord Narayana said, oh, he didn't say anything. But instead, immediately he brought this Brahmana to the Vaikuntha planet. And the Brahmana, thus he was present and he told the Lord exactly what happened. He said that, oh, see, this is what happened. I have been doing this mana worship, mental worship of the Lord during his meditation. And when he was touching the sweet rice, it just really burnt his finger. So the Lord, the Brahmana, actually, he was so fortunate that through this meditation process of his, he was able to attain his eternal residence in Vaikuntha. And this process, we can see how important meditating on the pastimes of the Lord, on the form of the Lord, on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna is. So the next was question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks is, where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? And of course, Ramananda Raya, he says that he should live in the holy place of Vrindavan, of Rajabhumi, where the Lord performed his rasa dance. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, 47th chapter, 61st shloka, Uddhava says that, let me become one of Vrindavan's herbs and plants that are trampled upon by the gopis who have given up all their connection with their families and friends, and they have decided to worship the lotus feet of Mukunda. Those lotus feet are sought by all great saintly persons expert in the study of Vedic literature. So definitely, even if we have, if we can be born as a particle of dust in Vrindavan, like what Lord Brahma prays for, he just wants to be a particle of dust in Vrindavan. Even then, that is the topmost place for us to reside. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asks then, what, sorry, of all the topics, what is the best topic? Which is the best for all living entities? Of all the topics that we have to listen to. So Ramananda Raya says, hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is the most pleasing to the ear. So when we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna from the proper authority, at once we can attain liberation. But sometimes some people are misguided, because they do not hear these pastimes from the realized soul. And so then we do not understand also what these loving relations between Radha and Krishna are. So in the Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, again in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, it said that one who hears the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis will attain that highest platform of devotional service. And we will be freed from all material lust, which overwhelms everyone's heart in this material world. So the actual result of hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna is to get rid of all our material contaminations, is to get rid of this lust that is pervading in our hearts. So unless we cannot be freed from that lust, we should try not to indulge in hearing the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And we need to make sure that we are hearing it from the right source. Okay, because otherwise the chance of us misinterpreting the pastimes of the Lord is highly possible, because we would consider these to be very similar to ordinary human affairs, and we would be misguided, we would be completely on a wrong track. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, okay, what is the chief worship, among all worshipable objects, what is the chief? And Ramananda Raya says that the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna. And that is Radha Krishna Nama. That's what he says. The holy name of Radha Krishna, or Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Oh, even Lord Yamraj, he tells the Yamadutas in the 6th canto, in the 3rd chapter, when he is advising them, he says that in this material world, the living entity's only business is to accept the path of Bhakti Yoga. His only business is to chant the holy name of the Lord. So there are many, many worshipable objects. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for the chief. So what are the different kinds of other worship that people can be involved in? So impersonalists may worship the Brahma Jyoti. And by worshipping the Brahma Jyoti, they become bereft, they lose all their life symptoms, and they become like a non-moving living entity. They become like a tree, right? Whereas, and it's very similar for those who worship a void, they also will attain such results. And there are people who worship the demigods because they want some material enjoyment, they want some bhukti in their life. And those people, they attain to the planets of the demigods so that they can achieve or enjoy more material happiness, more material opulences. And that, of course, that is also temporary. So we will see further on that in the next question. The next question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks is, what are the and what is the destination of those who desire liberation and those who desire sense gratification? Ramananda Raya says that those who attempt to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord, they will have to accept bodies like those of trees. And those who are overly inclined towards sense gratification, they will attain the bodies of demigods. So those who desire for liberation by merging into the existence, they don't want any sense gratification. They do not want, you know, any kind. They have no information. They don't know that there is a possibility where we can use ourselves in service of the Lord. We can serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And because they are unaware of this, they don't want anything to do with this material world. They don't want anything to do with, sense gratification. And so they become like a non-moving entity, or they become like a tree where they are just forced to stand in one place for thousands and thousands of years. So that kind of liberation where they are merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, that is no better than taking the form of a tree. So better situated than that, it said, is that of people who actually desire sense gratification. Because such people, then they would go to the heavenly planets, and there they can enjoy like the other citizens or residents of those heavenly planets. But of course, after that time, or their piety or all their good credits are completed, are exhausted in the heavenly planets, then they would have to come down to this world again and take birth. And this cycle of repeated birth and death will continue. As Krishna explains in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in verse 20 and 21, he says that those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma juice, who are seeking heavenly planets, they worship me indirectly. They are purified of sinful reactions. They take birth on pious heavenly planets of Indra, and there they enjoy godly delights. So when they have thus enjoyed this heavenly sense pleasure, and the result of those pious activities get exhausted, then they come back to this planet again. And those who seek and sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas, they are only going to achieve repeated birth and death. So after finishing the results of pious activities, all the karmis return to this planet, and they return in the form of rain, once again explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And they begin their life as grass, as plants, and then continue on and through the evolutionary process. So this ends the section where Ramananda Raya is answering the different questions. So I'll just quickly go back and summarize the questions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, he asks, what is the highest standard of education? And Ramananda Raya replies that nothing else is important other than devotional service to Krishna. That is the highest standard of education. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, out of all glorious activities, which is most glorious?
No.
I'll just mute. It's okay. Yeah, and out of all glorious activities, what is most glorious? And Ramananda Raya says, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna, he attains the utmost fame, utmost glory. Then he's asked, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is the most valuable thing that one can possess? And that is love of Radha and Krishna. What is the most painful experience of all kinds of distresses? And Ramananda Raya says, separation from devotees of Krishna is the most painful. And who is the greatest liberated person? So Ramananda Raya says that he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. And what is the greatest song? It is the song that describes the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna. Which is the most beneficial activity? The most beneficial activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. And what should we all constantly remember? We should remember the Lord's holy name, his qualities, and his pastimes. Those are the chief objects for remembrance. What is our most important meditation? It is the meditation upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That is our chief meditation. Which place should be? Where should one live? Abandoning all other places. And that is Vrindavan Dham or Vrajabhumi, where the Lord performed his pastimes. And what is the best topic of all the topics for us to listen to? And the answer is that hearing the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is most pleasing. That is the best topic. And what is the chief worshipable object? The chief worshipable object is the chanting of the holy name of Radha and Krishna. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the chief worshipable. And the different destinations, the destination of those who desire liberation and those who desire sense gratification. For those who want to merge into the Supreme Lord's existence, they get bodies like that of trees. And those who desire sense gratification would go to the heavenly planets. They go get in the bodies of demigods, and after their piety is all over, after their good credits are over, they come back to this material world. So then Ramananda Raya, he explains the exalted position of devotional service after that. And he talks about how a person who is devoid of all transcendental mellows is like a crow. This crow that sucks the juice from the bitter fruit of the nimba tree. That can be compared to how the jnana yogis or the philosophers, they try to relish the dry process of philosophical knowledge. Whereas a devotee, they are like the cuckoos who are eating the nice, juicy, succulent mango fruit. They are enjoying the mellows just like a cuckoo. So therefore, the devotees are most fortunate of all. That was Ramananda Raya's conclusion. So in this way, Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they talked all through the night. And sometimes they would talk, sometimes they would cry, sometimes they would dance, sometimes they would sing. And after the entire night is over, at dawn, Ramananda Raya would leave. And again, he would come back the next evening. So like this, after continuous discussion for some time, Ramananda Raya, he fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, he held on to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, my dear Lord, you are so kind to me. You have taught me, because till now, what has, you know, some things that we already learned about, right, in the last few sessions. It was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, you have taught me the science of Krishna, the science of Radharani, their loving affairs, the science of their rasa dance, the science of their pastimes. And I never thought I would ever be able to speak on these subject matters. So you have taught me, just like how you taught Brahma the Vedas. Brahma receives instructions from within, right? He does not, the Lord doesn't appear before him and give him the instructions of the Vedas. He instructs him from within. In the same way, the Supreme Lord Here Ramananda Raya is confirming that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, he has the super soul within Ramananda Raya. He has come and he has enabled, he has given those instructions to Ramananda Raya, and Ramananda Raya was able to speak or utter those answers out to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yenamam Upiyantiti. The Lord, he dictates from within to anybody who is sincerely engaged in his service. And he acts in such a way that a person can ultimately attain the supreme goal of life. So we see just like how... Just like how it is mentioned here, Ramananda Raya too was able to speak to the Lord because of the instructions of the Lord. And then Ramananda Raya, he talks, he speaks on the first verse of the Bhagavatam. And after that he says, I have all but just one final doubt in my heart. And he says, you please be merciful upon me and you remove that doubt from my heart. And he says, first when I saw you, you appeared like a sannyasi, but now I see you as Shyam Sundar, as the cowherd boy, and I see you are also appearing like a golden doll. Your entire body appears to be having a golden luster. And now I see that you're holding a flute to your mouth and your lotus eyes, they are so restless because of so many ecstasies. Oh, can you please explain why I am seeing you in this way? Please tell me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, oh, very highly elevated devotees, they like to see Krishna in everything. So whenever they see anything, they do not see the form of that thing, particular thing. They see only Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives confirmation from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says 11th chapter, he quotes from the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 45th verse. He says, one who is a highly elevated in devotional service sees the super soul Krishna, who is the soul of all individual souls. And in the same way, it's also found in the 10th canto. And he says that, okay, because you have the highest conception of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you are seeing Radha and Krishna everywhere. But Ramananda Raya did not spare him. He said, no, you are trying to hide yourself. I please request you, please don't do that to me. I understand that you have accepted the complexion and the mode of thinking of Radha, Srimati Radharani, and you are trying to understand yourself from her viewpoint. So please, I request you not to deceive me. You have personally come here to deliver me. So please show me to yourself. Show me who you really are. And seeing this and being very satisfied with Ramananda Raya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smiled and he showed this very rare form, his real form, this combination form of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. This form was not shown to anyone else. And seeing this form of Lord Chaitanya as Sri Krishna himself with the external features of Srimati Radharani, Ramananda Raya, he fainted. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to touch him again. And once he touched him, he came back to his senses. And when he looks up, he sees that beautiful vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as both Radha and Krishna was lost. And now he could see Lord Chaitanya in his sannyas, garb of a sannyasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced Ramananda Raya and he pacified him and said, Ramananda Raya, you are the only one to have seen this form. Just because you have understood what the purpose of my incarnation is, you have had the privilege of seeing this particular feature of mine. So in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 7, 25th verse, Lord Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita, mudho yam nabhi janati loko mam ajamabye. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, by my yoga maya. So they do not know me, who am unborn and infallible. So it is the Lord who decides, he reserves the right to decide who will see what form of his. So the Lord decides whether he is going to be exposed to everyone or not. But the devotees, they are always engaged in service of the Lord. They are serving the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They are, you know, so they are constantly serving with the tongue. We are chanting the holy names. We are tasting the Mahaprasadam of the Lord. And by this process, gradually, the sincere devotee is able to please the Supreme Lord. And once that happens, the Supreme Lord, he reveals himself. So one cannot see the Supreme Lord. We cannot see the Supreme Lord by our own personal effort. Rather, when the Lord is pleased, he will decide that it is time to reveal himself to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, my dear Ramananda Raya, I'm not a different person with a fair complexion. I am the same Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. But just because of contact with the body of Srimati Radharani, I have assumed this form. Srimati Radharani does not touch anyone but Krishna. And therefore, she has influenced me with her complexion, with her mind, with her words. And in this way, I am just trying to understand her relationship with Lord Krishna, that transcendental mellow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to understand, is what he says. So both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are non-different. They are both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should not try to separate Lord Chaitanya from Sri Krishna. So as Sri Krishna, he is the Supreme Enjoyer. And in his form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Enjoyed. So no one can be more attractive than Lord Krishna, right? And no one but Krishna can enjoy the supreme form of devotion, who is Srimati Radharani. So all the Vishnu forms lack this ability except for Lord Krishna's. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, in chapter 4, text 82, it is said that Srimati Radharani is the only personality who can infuse Govinda with transcendental pleasure. Thus, Srimati Radharani is the chief of all the damsels of Raja who love Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I have nothing to hide from you, Ramananda Rai. Even if I try to hide something from you, you are such an advanced devotee. You understand all my secrets. So you please keep this a secret. Do not disclose this to anyone. And if it was revealed, people would consider me to be a madman. And the fact is that from a materialistic standpoint, all the devotees' ecstasies of love to Krishna is considered mad. So in that way, both you and I are just like madmen. So don't disclose this to any ordinary person. If you do, they will laugh at me. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed 10 nights with Ramananda Raya. He just enjoyed his company. They were constantly discussing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So some of that talk has been written down and has been described in the 8th chapter of Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But because they were so extensive, not all of it could be written down. So it's talking about the position of the different topics of discussion between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. And that is being compared to copper, the higher, so it's compared to a metallurgic examination. So various metals are studied in a sequence, and we study them as first copper, bronze, silver, gold, and at last the touchstone. So based on their, which is the best, most ultimate, finally. In the same way, the topics between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, you can compare it to be copper, then the higher discussion. First, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is the ultimate goal of life? And Ramananda Rai says that it is through Varnashram Dharma, fulfilling your duties, that is going to be, and pleasing the Lord, that is going to be the highest goal of life. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps on saying eho bahaya, eho bahaya. Then he says eho haya, this is okay, now you please continue. And finally he says this is uttama. He talks about the loving relationship between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani to be the ultimate. And they go deeper and deeper into those transcendental pastimes and the transcendental form and position of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So that can be compared to a metallurgic examination where we are looking at the properties of each one of these metals. And then finally, after 10 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes and he asks Ramananda Raya, please allow me to return back to Jagannath Puri, and we can for the rest of our lives remain together in Jagannath Puri and pass our time by discussing about Krishna. And he embraces him and he sends him back to his own place. And the Lord continued his journey south, because this was his South India Yatra that the Lord is going through, and he was at river Godavari at this point. So he met Ramananda Raya on the river bank near a Hanuman temple. So he goes, he visits the Hanuman temple, he remains in Vidyanagara, he meets all kinds of people, and by Lord's grace everyone becomes a devotee. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed, Ramananda Raya was feeling too overwhelmed. He could not bear his separation from the Lord, and he decided to retire right away so that he could go back and meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So these discussions between Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya, it is the most concentrated form of devotional service. And by hearing these discussions, this is the ultimate benefit that we can get. We can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the confidential role that's played by Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we have enough faith in these discussions, then we can enter into the transcendental association of Radha and Krishna. That is all we have for this chapter. Thank you, Mataji, for this opportunity. Please take over for question answers, Mataji, if there are any questions. If people would like, if you have any realizations, please share them. But if you have any questions, please direct them to Preeti Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Induleka Karana Mataji. What a fantastic class. Thank you so much. You did complete justice to the section. I had 3 questions, so I thought I'll ask you.
Yes, Mataji, you have the answer. Or we have so many great devotees on the call. They can all answer, Mataji.
Yeah, if anyone can answer, I'll be grateful. Thank you, first of all. Before we get into the questions, I just wanted to thank you. You did amazing justice, Mataji, to this section. Even 1 second, I couldn't take off my ear from this class. It was so interesting. The questions were interesting. The answers were also very interesting. And I was also thinking of this fact as you were ending the session. You were talking about how the Lord is talking to Ramananda Rai. There are so many teachings of Lord Chaitanya has different sections, like the teaching, his conversations with Sanatan Goswami, his conversation with Rupa Goswami. And we also have this Ramananda Rai Samvad. I was just thinking how interesting it is that the others were mostly Lord Chaitanya teaching them, but Ramananda Rai conversation is unique, right? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just asking questions and Ramananda Rai is the one who's talking. So definitely he's the one, so nicely, he was the one who saw the form of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Very special position indeed. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that. It was very nicely covered. I had a few questions. I'm trying to recollect the questions. As you were talking, first thing is you did mention about the destination of the impersonalist. The impersonalist, he gets an opportunity to become trees and all that. So my question was more like, because he has indeed, made all attempts for self-realization, and even if his God realization was not perfect, where he is focused on the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So when he's coming back as a tree or immovable living entity, then would it be in a place where Radha Krishna, or rather even Krishna for that matter, even simple pastimes. So would it be in a place where, the Supreme Lord, not only Krishna, any form of the Lord is performing pastimes? Because he has definitely, tried, though he went the wrong way and he had to come back, because generally they say that they come back to do some social welfare activity or even a tree, in a very, in a very Shantarasa kind of a situation. So my question there was, does Prabhupada or any mention at all about where they come back, whether it is like in some random place, outside my yard in a tree, or would they really at least get a opportunity to be around the Lord where they can further advance? So that was the question. Any inputs, Mataji, is mentioned anywhere?
Mataji, am I muted?
Now you're okay.
Yeah, so one sec, Mataji, I'll just share the text itself so then we can see what it says there. So this is chapter 8, text 257. So it says, those who desire liberation by merging into the existence of God, they don't desire sense gratification within the material world. But because they have no information about serving the Lord, they are doomed to stand like trees for many thousands of years. They say stand like trees. So the liberated soul who merges into the existence of the Lord is no better than the trees. So it's talking about them going into the Brahman effulgence. See, it is the same whether one remains in the Brahman effulgence or in the material energy, because in neither is there any spiritual activity. So they can come back, but they don't talk about them, or they can stay in the Brahman effulgence, but there is no association, there is no activity where they can associate with the Lord. Like what you're saying in Vrindavan, or even the trees, they also reciprocate with the Lord. There is some activity that they can perform.
Right. Interesting, Mataji. Yeah, thank you for this pulling up the purport. Like you say, we stand like trees for many thousand years. And even about the karmis, I was just curious to know when you were mentioning, of course, maybe there is more scope for elaboration. When you were mentioning that they come down in the form of rain, so, and eventually they have to advance, but I was curious to understand whether they just come as rain and then they fall onto the grass, but the human eats them. That's how Bhagavad Gita describes it, the human, but then they get a human body. It's not like they have to go become grass, animal, bird, and then
Yeah, talking about them following the evolutionary process and then becoming.
So which one would be more appropriate was the question. So are they really going to go that far? After coming from heavenly planet, or?
Oh, yeah, that's what they are saying. Their life is grass and plants. But I would say
you. Yeah, evolutionary process. Okay.
Yes. Anybody would like to answer that? I really don't know which one would be considered more higher.
Maybe situation. But thanks for anyhow pulling up that purport, Mataji. Very beautiful class, and I liked your thing about separation from devotees. live experience, sharing that. That was very, very sweet. The other thing, last two lines on the purport says no. Is that what Sukh Sagari Mataji is telling?
Yeah, no. Her father is saying that, so that's why Mataji is saying. So she's talking about these two lines, I think. Yeah.
What is that? What is the conclusion?
Mataji, you want to unmute yourself?
I don't understand what she said.
Hare Krishna, I was just reading the last two lines and Prabhupada says it clearly. Therefore, after finishing the results of pious activities, the karmis return to this planet in the form of rain and they begin their life as grass and plants in the evolutionary process. The Prabhupada says this in the last two lines of the purport.
Yeah.
So when they're done with all their pious credits, they have to start from the start. That's what it appears to me.
They have to start from scratch then, because in the Bhagavad Gita, they say, right, we are born, if we come down as seeds, the soul comes down as rain, and then it goes in the form of grain, and then the man eats it, and once he eats it, then he can transfer it. So that way the person, he becomes a person. Like, we don't go through the entire evolutionary process, is what they say in the Bhagavad Gita too. So that was the question, Mataji. Which one is more appropriate?
Yeah, or is it case-based? Because that could also end up being the situation. Because nothing is like, you know, rule-following like that, yeah.
The paragraph before also says, when they have enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, so they don't have any punya karma remaining, they return to this mortal planet again. Therefore, after finishing the results of pious activities, the karmis return to this planet and begin their life as grass. I guess they do have opportunities even in the higher planets to go back to Godhead. It's mentioned in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says that, you know, even in higher planets, if somebody takes to devotional service, they can go back from there too. But, you know, people get swayed by all the sense pleasures there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not very common. Of course, it is possible, but not very common. Yeah.
Like even now in the Bhagavatam series that we are having right now, Prabhuji was explaining that the demigods or the devatas there, they know that they have to constantly remember the Lord and they have to worship the Lord. But the people who are going there, based on their, you know, past pious credits, they are going there just to enjoy. They need not be aware of, the Lord and constantly remember the Lord or their position with respect to the Lord. They don't remember any of that. So they are just there to enjoy. And once they are done enjoying, they'll come back in some form.
Okay. And one thing, the other thing I wanted to ask you was you did mention about, in the first question, right? The first question that was asked.
Highest education.
Yeah, highest education. The problem of pride that I know, and you did mention about in this material world, how people are kind of proud of material knowledge, which is temporary, doesn't last too long. And you also mentioned about false guru who are not giving the right knowledge. But I was also curious to hear from you. I mean, it's just an opinion that I'm asking. I'm not making any, I'm not asking a question. That even in Krishna consciousness, we do have these problems of developing pride from knowledge, right? Not only knowledge, just even becoming a devotee is, I'm a great devotee. I'm this, I'm that. So that itself is there's so much pride exhibited in that itself. And it's even that, I think, is a big deal. Even if you become a devotee, still you're not really a devotee. Till you work on that aspect of pride. So I was just meditating on that, because it's not limited to them, it's also us, right?
Yeah, Definitely one of the primary qualifications, qualities of a devotee is that they need to be humble. We need to be very, very humble. Pridelessness is also definitely one of the qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita for a devotee. So I don't know how that and devotional service can go together.
Correct. Yes, that and devotion, that means you're, that's not devotional service at all. That's a very nice thought process. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, interesting, Mataji. Very, very interesting. I let the rest of them go, and thank you for such a beautiful finish. The rapid fire round was fantastic. You did extremely good justice. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Please don't go off spotlight, Mataji.
No, we'll have more people coming, so don't worry.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj's. Very, very beautifully done, Mataji. You concluded so fantastically, Mataji. Thank you so much. And with all the discussion, I was just wondering, when this is Swarga, which Swarga? It's Divya Swarga or the, what is it called? Bhur Swarga or the Bhoma Swarga. Like there also lives, is it that's where Srila Prabhupada is mentioning they will fall down, or they will fall down to this where we are? So do you have any idea, Mataji? I'm sorry.
Regular only, I believe. It seems to be the regular Swarga.
So, I mean, in regarding to this, I mean, yeah, this little related to in the morning discussion. Like now, so far I thought there is only one Swarga, which is top of our head, like this earth, and they fall from there, the rain and all we have heard. But apart from Bharata Varsha, all other eight Varshas are also like, seems like. Devatas are living, or at least like devatas, people having a wonderful life, their so-called wonderful life, and are they falling down there and then coming here, or they are coming here to suffer? Do you have any idea? If not, it's okay, Mataji. Just a curiosity that I got.
Yeah, it can be anything, right, Mataji? Anything is either you go to Indra Swarga or you go to Swarga within this Bhumandala. Anyhow, it's higher planetary system, only everything is higher, right?
And, because
enjoying material pleasures is the goal in both of
that's a tendency of living entity, isn't it? Whether it's an ant or human being, even like most worst condition, we still like to enjoy.
Yes.
that's very natural. Yeah, thank you so much, Induleka Mataji and Preeti Mataji, both of you together. The question answer is so wonderful discussion. But yes, Indu Mataji, such a wonderful class. And thank you. You made this last day so memorable by also sharing your experience when you were saying, and I was remembering we had a conversation regarding this. Yes, we miss all of your association, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hope to see you soon in person, all of you. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Punam. Thank you once again, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You were the star of our reunion, Mataji. Without you, it would not have been possible, really.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear that. That's why I said it anyway, Mataji. Thank you. Without you all, nothing would have been possible. But thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class and very nice discussion, question answer session among Preeti Mataji and yourself. Very nice, Mataji. I really like all the points that you are sharing, how you know, one cannot offer everything economically. If somebody is having a hard struggle to offer, can offer in through meditation. Even we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Narasimha Brahmachari, he makes the pathway to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu until Kanyanadshala. After that, he could not make. Even in reality also, when Lord travels, he could not travel after that. Even he was able to do what exactly Lord is going in the pathway. So that's a great thing in meditation. Sometimes we feel, oh, I'm not able to do anything. I am not a and capable by financial position is not supporting me to do. But Krishna gave us this opportunity to do in meditation. Also, like Krishna is able to accept, and how beautifully explained about that Brahmana who was offering a sweet rice to the Lord, and the hand, a finger burnt by the hotness, right? It was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for explaining that that pastime, Mataji. And the other thing you were telling, like being in this material ocean, we have to tackle this wave. So in the same way, when you are in this material world, we are in the modes of this passion, ignorance, and we cannot escape. Only way is to just to surrender to Krishna, as we learned from this class, Mataji, and always continuously meditating on Krishna. Thank you Mataji, for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vinita Mataji, for sharing your realization and for including the pastime of Narasimha Brahmachari, Mataji. Thank you so much. And yes, Mataji, so definitely it is not a conclusion. We are still going to have further realizations from all the devotees. And this was a very, very interesting, interesting section of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya for me, because Ramananda Raya has got such a perfect answer for each and every question of the Lord. And of course, the Lord is only motivating him or inspiring him to speak and give those answers. So obviously it would be perfect. But each and every answer was directed exactly into the topmost love for Krishna. So that,
yeah, Mataji, I was remembering of Kulavacha Sridhar, how Kulavacha Sridhar was able to give his heart 50% of to them. And then when Lord appeared in front of him and he asked, like, what do you want? You want this, you want the planet, or you want to, you know, do this, do that? Then he said, nothing I want. I just want to do the service to you. That is the highest. Other than that, everything, you know, we hanker for material things. I want this, I want that. But this is not going to give us real happiness. The happiness is just to surrender to Krishna and don't get entangled with this small things that you get in your material life, and just don't miss the diamond jewel that, as Prahlad Maharaj also, you have quoted that example also. Very, very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class. And every day it happens so that I hear from Guru Maharaj the same lecture, related to the same lecture from Guru Maharaj, and the CC is also saying yesterday whatever I shared, it was Guru Maharaj points. Thank you Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
All glories to your service, Mataji. Thank you so much for inspiring everyone, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Mataji, shall we end here tomorrow?
Oh, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just one quick thing.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Gaurangi, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yes, your class was very sweet. Some people, you can just listen. Some people, you have to look at them and listen to. You're one of those people who, you know, part of the relish of the class is seeing them give the class. You give the class very sweetly, Mataji. Thank you. I just needed a repetition of that one point you were making. It was the analogy of metallurgy. Can you just repeat that one for me?
Sure, Mataji. Actually, I would say that would be easier because we can read straight from CC. Sorry, hang on. I forgot the verse number, so that's why.
No problem.
Okay. Text 294, these conversations. So here it says, actually, these conversations are like a great mine where from a single place one can extract all kinds of metals, copper, bell metal, silver, and gold, and also touchstone, the basis of all metals. So So over here in the purport, Bhakti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the following summary of the conversation between Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Raya replied to 5 questions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these questions are recorded in verses 57 to 67. So the first answer is compared to copper, second to a bell metal, third to silver, fourth to gold, and the fifth is compared to the other most valuable gem, touchstone, because it deals with unalloyed devotion, the ultimate goal of devotional life.
Okay, so bell metal would be like the Varnashram Dharma answer.
Copper, I think copper would be compared to the Varnashram Dharma.
Okay, yeah, that's what I just missed that point. Thank you very much. I don't know if I should share this, but I had a funny experience when you were reciting verse 9:22 from the Gita, Ananyas Chintayantoma. It was so funny to hear you recite that because, you know, for Gita Jayanti, I decided that I was going to memorize that verse, you know?
Wow.
and so like every day to try and keep it fresh, right? I recite it, but every day, you know, I have so many hitches and hiccups and pauses, you know? And so it was such a humbling experience when I heard you just rattle off the verse as if to say you were reading it, you know? It was like, oh my God. I said, Indulaika Mataji, she's my guru for this verse. I said, one day I pray to be able to just say that verse so flowingly like you did today. I was, you know, if you could compare the way you recite the verse to the way I've been struggling to recite the verse, it was just such a stark contrast. So I said, my eyes opened up wide. I said, oh my God, one day. Anyway,
but for you, like I am always so shocked by the kind of knowledge that you have, and all of these, because each and every term that we have in the texts, they are all new to you, right? Or that's how I feel. I mean, all new as in it is not in English, it's not a language that you're familiar with, and still you know all of them. You come back and you ask questions on the exact Sanskrit text or the Sanskrit word, and it's just I am always awestruck to see, okay, how do you, someone who is born in a different land, you know, how do you actually relate to those terms, even because we see so many of these things while we are growing up, and it kind of has become a natural part of our life, you know, at least some of these aspects. But when you are in a different land where we have so many cultural differences, how do you openly accept everything?
It's due to lack of shame, Mataji. Lack of shame about revealing my ignorance. That's the only thing that I can think to explain.
You understand the concept so well, so that's what I was just thinking.
Anyway, yeah, so anytime I recite or hear this verse, I will always think of you and this experience that I had today. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for your so sweetly delivered class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Gaurangi Mataji, for your comments. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj.
Anyone else has any questions?
Hare Krishna, Indulekha Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Very, very nectarial class, and very confidently you present Mataji all the Leelas. Shri Dham Prindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Shri Ramanand Rai Ki Jai. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, so blessed child you are.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Please, please bless us, Mataji. And you give such wonderful classes, Mataji. was just unfortunate I could not attend in person then, but heard it later. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. I'm really hoping we can have more sessions in Hindi or in different languages also, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
If there are no other questions, quick announcements. Tomorrow and day after. So we are in the middle of the week and we have finished an entire series, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So tomorrow and day after, tomorrow being Wednesday, we will be having a charades game, dumb charades as we call it in India. This will be from the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that was the series we finished before Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So from the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, including Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is a portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're going to have a charades game and we have picked about 15 to 20 characters with context, meaning what that character is actually doing. So we'll give the situation and the name of the character and we encourage everyone to come forward. You can raise hands, you can take turns, you can raise hands and you can enact. We'll message you privately on the chat that is there in Zoom. So private message on chat in Zoom, you'll receive the name of the character and the context and you will enact, keep your video on obviously, and you can stand up or sit down and enact as to the best capability as you can. And the rest of us who are there as audience, we will try to guess. So while guessing, we can either unmute and guess because we are all adults. I think we can cooperate and unmute and guess. Or if you think the chat feature is better to guess, that is also fine. So that would be our charades game for Wednesday. And since our sessions are generally just 1 hour, a few of us can take turns and it will be done. Then on Thursday, we just thought we have to give fair opportunities to everyone to speak a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, something that they liked from teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita. So everyone on the call, we request you all to take turns, 2-3 minutes, some pastime that you liked a lot. You can limit your timings to 2-3 minutes so that everybody on the call gets a turn. And if we request all of you to come so that you can share something you like, just 2 minutes it takes, something you like from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some lesson, just a pastime, something about Lord Chaitanya, anything that stuck to your head from so many years of study of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and so many months of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you can share. And it'll be nice to hear from everybody. Everyone has something to say that they liked. So please say and limit it to 3 minutes at the max so that everybody gets a turn. That'll be the Thursday realization session. And after that, Friday, as usual, is our Leelamrita session. I think Vivek Prabhu will be giving class on the Leelamrita summaries. After that, from January, beginning of next year, we'll be starting on popular demand. Again, something to do with Lord Chaitanya, which is Chaitanya Bhagavata. Chaitanya Bhagavat is a little different from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the meaning that it deals more with the pre-sannyas pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Chaitanya Charitamrita, as you've all seen, was more concentrating on the later pastimes and it had a lot of philosophy. The Adi Leela had a lot of philosophy. But Chaitanya Bhagavat will have a very sweet note to it. You'll all enjoy it. I've not read it in detail, but each one of us can, get an opportunity to read, hear, and share realizations as we delve into Chaitanya Bhagavat. So thank you all so much. We'll visit you all again. We'll all meet again tomorrow with the charades session. Thank you. Indulika Mataji.
We'll end here. Pancha kalpata rupyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavyo namo namah. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya ki jai.
Her Grace Indulekha Karuna Mataji ki jai. Thank you to all the assembled devotees and all the coordinators and the attendees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.